time for the Debate Hockey Podcast. I am the host of the show, Brad Ruth, joined alongside my co-hosts each and every week, Blake Friars. And Blake, I got Google Maps out this
week. Okay.
And started to plan your Stanley Cup parade in Vancouver.
No. We're not doing that. It's two games. One really good game. One game they had no business winning, but they found a way. They fought. They battled. They were resilient in the second game, which makes me happy because last year, if they took seven penalties against the Oilers, I thought there would have been no shot in hell they're winning that game. It's nice to have a backup goalie for once that can come in and dismiss this place Demko and actually have confidence that he's going to make saves. That feels good.
Okay, stop.
Two goals from the fourth line. That was a lot to like.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit here because there's lots to talk about with the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing I noticed, the Carolina Hurricanes, they have no AHL affiliate. Do you know that?
I did know that. I just saw that. There's guys reporting to go. They're not reporting to go to the other team they got loaned to.
They're not reporting, but now they've been shuffling guys to the ECHL.
Yeah.
And it's like, how in the league as big as the National Hockey League, how can you not have an AHL affiliate?
That should be a mandatory thing, no?
Well, it kind of makes the league look bush league. Like, I just...
Well, I'm trying to think of the last team that hadn't had one. It was
Vancouver.
No, it wasn't Vancouver.
Vancouver shared one.
Vancouver shared it with somebody. It was St. Louis that didn't have one. And then St. Louis joined with Vancouver and Utica. That's what it was. Vancouver always had one. It was in Utica. They had, now it's in Abbotsford. It was in Stockton for a little bit.
Even sharing isn't really the smartest.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems crazy to me that an organization like that is in that situation. Did you see the fight this week?
In the AHL?
Yes, between Gallant and Veal, AHL, Calgary, Manitoba. I honestly believe
that was one of the best fights I've seen in a long time. Just two guys, just no defense in sight, just trading haymakers. And they were landing too. It was like, you see some wild swings in some fights, but like missing guys and you're off balance. These were like, bam, bam, bam. I was like, holy shit.
That was 1988 Don Cherry. Yeah.
That reminded me of like Bob Probert and Ty Domi back in the day.
Yeah, but even like, okay, I agree with what you just said, but like it was like those guys like unleashed because you knew with those guys that they knew how to protect themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
This was like them on volume 10.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. I watched it a few times on Twitter. It was good. Couldn't get enough of it.
What do you make of the reports that Mike Babcock's been seeing around NHL and NHL game wearing St. Louis Blues apparel?
I did not know that. Nor do I care. I don't really care. I
actually saw a picture of him in a Blues hat and shirt.
Oh, maybe he's a Blues fan now. I don't know. I really don't care. I don't care. Mike Babcock is never going to coach again. Doesn't matter.
I thought it was comical.
Yeah.
Thought it was comical. Barry Melrose, sad diagnosis with Parkinson, leaves ESPN. This kind of hit home a little bit with me because I had my aunt deal with it, and it is a debilitating, terrible, terrible disease. And I've always kind of had a soft spot for Barry Melrose because I remember when I was a young kid, and he was on ESPN. Remember back the old ESPN 2 days? I don't know. Were you even born? They would have Barry Melrose come on, and for some reason, multiple times I heard him say, they'd ask him where he was from, and he'd say, you go to Minot, North Dakota, and drive 3 hours north, Calvington, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
He'd always describe it that way, and I thought that was funny. But,
that's sad news. I mean, it's just, Joe just goes to show you that that hockey's just a game, right? Everybody has to deal with stuff, and sucks, for sure.
We wish him the best, and hopefully he can manage that terrible disease for as long as he possibly can. So First week's in the books. Overreactions all over the place. It is. It is
not cool. For me. Not for me.
I hope you're not.
Not for me, but I
probably I've have every reason to be.
Me? No. There's no reason for me to overreact at all.
No, but I don't know that there's a two more impressive wins your team could get, and we're gonna get into that. But I think if Vancouver fans are going crazy on Twitter, but
the majority of them are just like, okay, it's only two games. What I've been reading, but
I know, but it's yeah, I don't know. It was definitely an exciting two games. Lots to talk about on the show today. We're going to talk about NHL dominance tiers and the Oilers. Where do they fit into this now after struggling so bad out of the gate? We're going to talk about that. And Blake and I are going to give you who we have as tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four, and tier five National Hockey League teams. Then we go around the league opening weekend. Lots to talk about there. Bedard's debut, contract extensions, and Pinto. Pinto is still not signed in Ottawa, and now there's reports that he is headed home. All right, Blake, let's get going right off the Canucks. This was the talk of opening weekend, I think. And the Edmonton Oilers go into the season, and you picked them to win the Stanley Cup. I picked them to lose in the Stanley Cup Finals. So we both believe that this team is in a really, really good hockey team. And I don't know that really changes after this weekend's two losses to Vancouver, an 8-1 loss on Wednesday, was Wednesday, right? And then a 4-3 loss on Saturday. Let's talk a little bit about both those games and how Edmonton, I don't even know what you'd say, underachieved or dismantled themselves, and how Vancouver, and I'm going to give them all the credit in the world, how I thought they were resilient through the whole two games and really gave the Oilers fits.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Vancouver play with that much speed and that much forechecking in a long time. Like they beat the Oilers at their own game is what they basically did. Oilers are a fast team. They like to chip pucks behind the defense. They like to get the cycle game going. Their back end chips in, and Vancouver's power play outdueled Edmonton's power play. You take penalties against the Oilers, you're going to lose. Definitely. Most time, nine times out of 10. The Canucks took 7 penalties on Saturday night. I'm out here pulling my hair. I'm like we're going to lose the damn game.
They were taking penalties because they were getting beaten to the puck a lot. Thus that happens with the penalties. And yeah, I agreed with you. I thought you can only go to the well. As soon as
Dakota Joshua put the puck over the glass, I literally said, this game's getting tied. And with how bad their penalty kill was last year, I'm just like, here we go again. But
they chased, but not as much as last year.
No, they're way more. How do I explain this?
It's not great. Like they still have like
Vancouver. I'm looking for the word. They crash to the net more. They crash to the net more and protect the house way better. I've noticed the first two games.
They won those front of net battles and were able to clear the puck.
Like
they were able to clear the puck.
Right. Yeah. They were able to
tie up and clear the puck.
And Edmonton always tries that one play. McDavid's up high and he swings it down low to Draisaitl. He hit the post on that 5-on-3, which was kind of lucky. But I don't know, man. Just like that goal by Lafferty, like we haven't had speed like that in the bottom six in a long time. Like that, he got up to 37 kilometers an hour. That's borderline ridiculous. I just thought it was just an all around good week for the Canucks. You couldn't have pictured a better two games to start your season, to be honest. You couldn't. An 8-1 dominating victory. Domination. The whole game, the Vancouver Canucks dominated them. The whole game. And then Saturday, you get outshot 7-0 in the first 4 minutes. It's 1-0. And like home opener for the Oilers. Canucks are on their heels. What do? They go into the first intermission up 2-1. Like they battle back. And they took the punches. They weathered the storms. And That's something they didn't do a lot of last year.
Saturday, they give up the first minute goal, and I thought,
yeah.
There, I thought right away, I actually tweeted it just to piss you off. I said, there's the Canucks we are.
And but then that's what I said too. I said, oh, fuck, here we go again. Like, this is, here come the Oilers. And then they just punch back.
And they did. The Oilers did come. They did come hard.
Oh, they did. They shot the Canucks 41-16.
Yeah. Vancouver just held their ground and were able to come up with some key saves, some key clears, obviously some key penalty kills.
Yeah.
And you know, things worth the wait. One of the things I thought Vancouver did a really good job of, and I think, well, if I noticed this, I know every NHL coach, or they should have, or better of, if they watch these games, the longer they worked on McDavid and Draisaitl, the more they got frustrated and they started taking stupid penalties and doing stupid shit.
But did you see Miller rock Draisaitl? I haven't seen Draisaitl get hit like that before.
Mark Giordano caught him a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but like, Draisaitl's pretty strong, dude.
And oh, for
like,
sure. Yeah.
Like, I was like, whoa. Well,
no, I think JT Miller is one of the stronger for his.
Yeah,
he's some kind
for sure.
Of friend. Yeah. I look at they took them off their game, but one of the other things Vancouver did a good job of is, do you notice they left Evander Kane alone and never got him.
Just leave him alone.
They didn't get him pissed off though, because Evander Kane, he's one of those guys that thrives off that and gets better.
They just, he tried to start shit in the corners and they said he didn't even deal with that shit.
One thing, I don't mean to break the hearts of Canucks fans, but the Edmonton Oilers shot 2%, 5-on-5. They were, their shooting percentage was 2%.
What does that tell you about the Canucks goaltending though?
Well, good, but last year's average was 12% for the Oilers on 5-on-5 shooting.
Right.
They're not going to stay at 2%.
No, for sure. But all I'm saying is, they did beat them at their own game. They outscored them on the power play, and that's how the Oilers win. If the Oilers don't score on the power play, they don't win many games. That's just the bottom line.
But let's talk a little bit about Edmonton's problems. And
where do you want to start?
Well, let's start on defense.
Let's start a net.
Okay. Well, that's the biggest, most glaring problem, is I don't think either one of these goalies is going to be capable of winning a cup.
In fairness to Jack Campbell, on Wednesday night, he had absolutely zero help. Zero.
They never give help, though. That's been one of the problems for years, Edmonton.
You look at... Did you see that Elias Pettersson pass for Wednesday night to Connor? That was one of the most ridiculous passes I've ever seen. That was 4.5 feet in the air, right on the tape. Insane. So that goes in. That's just a disgusting play. The puck goes in off of Besser's skate when it was supposed to go to Miller, and this way on the other side of the ice. That goes in. Not really his fault. He maybe could have had Besser's second goal, but I don't know, man. Like, they didn't give much help.
No, not at all. And like, they just, you know, in a game where they really needed to give him help too, you know, his confidence just plummeted as the game went on. And it's like they needed to bail him out with some goals and they just didn't. They don't help going back, and this team just doesn't worry about.
Well, and all the Oilers fans were like, oh, wait till Ekholm's in the lineup. He missed the first game. He was their worst defenseman on Saturday night. He let Lafferty just blow right by him and score the winning goal.
But when teams rely on one player that heavily, that's a recipe for disaster. It really is. And I look at Skinner on Saturday night. He did not look.
He didn't look great either. No, but the two of the goals were tips, and then. And then another one's a point shot. I don't know. It's that's kind of tough. But 4 goals on 16 shots is definitely not ideal for sure.
Oh,
but their defense, man. Like, oh fuck. Oh my god. Whenever we play the Oilers, man, it's like, all right, we get to feast on Darnell Nurse, because you just know he's like, A, he's gonna take a dumb penalty, or B, he's just gonna throw a pizza right up the middle.
I'm interested to see what happens with that over the years now.
What do you mean? There's nothing that's going to happen. What, are they going to buy him out? They're going to take the Canucks
approach? No, No, they're going to have to figure out a way to protect him, though. They put him in situations he can't handle.
They play him as a number one defenseman. He's not a number one D-man.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to have
He's like a 3-4 guy.
They're going to have to shelter him somehow. They're going to have
You can't shelter him. You're giving him almost 10 mil.
They give Tyler Myers a ton of money, and they have to shelter him, don't they?
They do. Well, he's making six. That's a lot. That's a big difference. It's a lot of money still, but they shelter him on the third pair.
But they still shelter him because they know they have to, or they're going to die.
The odd time he does play with Quinn Hughes, which is it works because Quinn Hughes is so dynamic back there. But yeah, most of the time he's pretty sheltered for sure.
So where does this go? And Blake and I sat down today and kind of tiered out who we thought were the tier one, the tier two, the tier three, the tier four, and the tier five teams in the National Hockey League. And what does this do to the Oilers? I see you've moved them out of tier one, and you picked them 1 week ago. No, 2 weeks ago. You picked them to win the Stanley Cup.
I don't know, man. Like, it's
two games. Like, I know
I've seen enough, man. This team is... This team showed me in the first two games that if they don't score in the power play and they don't get production from 29 and 97, they're not winning.
But they, Blake, that they showed you that this weekend. We saw that a lot last year.
But at times Skinner gave them good goaltending, and at times they were decent defensively. What I saw this weekend was just a disaster.
I think you watch out. Who do they play next? I think they play Philadelphia next, don't they?
Who are the Canucks?
Vancouver does. Who does
they play next? They play Nashville, I think.
There you go. Nashville tomorrow night in Nashville. I look for them to just pound Nashville.
Well, I mean, I expected them to pound Vancouver on Saturday. They were pissed off. They lost 8-1.
So did I.
I'm like, all right. Like, it was a scheduled loss for the Canucks. It honestly was. It was a scheduled loss. Oilers home opener. They just lost 8-1. They're going to be pissed. McDavid and Draisaitl can combine for 8 points. That's what I thought.
So when I tiered these out, I looked at tier one as the teams I think can win the Stanley Cup this year. And I do believe that Colorado, Carolina, Toronto, Vegas, or Edmonton are the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. Now, when I saw your tiers, I saw Carolina and Vegas only.
Yeah.
You're not putting Edmonton in this category. So two games has moved them out of that category for you.
I still think they can win the Stanley Cup, but they're in tier two. They're a step below those two teams.
So why do you in tier two, you have Edmonton, Boston, Colorado, Toronto, and Dallas. I have New Jersey, Dallas, Boston, LA, the Rangers, and Tampa Bay. Why is Colorado not in your top tier?
I think they're good enough, but I don't classify them as good as those two teams.
I mean, I worry about their goaltending. So, like, I will.
I am a worry about their goaltending. But you know what? I'm worried about, honestly, their depth.
Look at the top teams, though. I worry about Colorado's goaltending, Toronto's goaltending, Vegas's goaltending, and Edmonton's goaltending.
Yeah.
To me, the clear favorite is Carolina, and I do believe that.
Yeah.
Thus, the reason I picked them to win the Stanley Cup. I look at these other teams, you know, like I think New Jersey and Dallas, Boston, LA, the Rangers and Tampa are my tier two. And I think all those are really good hockey teams. I'm worrying a little bit about LA after this weekend. I think they got the case of the goaltender worries too. And it seems to be a league problem. Same with Tampa Bay. They don't really know what they're going to do there in net. Where at least with New York, Dallas, New Jersey, they kind of have those solidified. And Carolina also. Tier two, you have Edmonton, Boston, Colorado, Toronto, and Dallas.
You know, I easily could put Colorado and Toronto up in tier one. I'm just not as sold on those two teams as I am the top two. That's all. Could I see them going to the cup? Sure, I could. For sure, I could.
In tier three, this is where it gets a little bit murky, I guess you'd say. And even when I look at my tier three, I start to wonder.
Yeah.
I got Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Calgary, Florida, and Winnipeg. You have Tampa, LA, Florida, New Jersey, which surprised me because you spoke so highly of them. the Rangers, and Minnesota. I have New Jersey higher than you, which is a stark, drastic difference from just 2 weeks ago.
These are just so hard to predict sometimes. It's like, I don't know. Like, it's like there's teams that are in my tier four that could have good seasons, and by the end of the year, they're in tier two.
You have half the league in your tier four.
Well, I'm just like, there's just half the league is just in the mushy middle. That's what it is.
Oh, I agree. But wouldn't you consider, like, I'm not knocking yours at all, because, like, I can argue mine too. Like, I like Minnesota, they could go up, they could go down. Pittsburgh, who knows? I really don't know what to make of Pittsburgh right now.
I just don't feel like there's five cup contenders in the league right now.
I do right now. I may not in 2 weeks. But you know what? Would you have had Vegas? Okay, two games into the
season. Hey, hold on. Let's do an exercise. So I want to redo this tier Christmas.
Yep. No.
And I want to redo it at the end of the year.
We're going to do it probably three times this year.
Okay.
Now, one thing I want to bring up here now. I'm going to read off the tiers because the people watching it can see on the graphics, but the people listening on the podcast can't.
Yeah.
So tier four, I have Ottawa, Vancouver, Buffalo, the Islanders, Detroit, Washington, Arizona, Chicago, and Seattle. You have Calgary, Vancouver, Winnipeg, the Islanders, Buffalo, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Nashville, Ottawa, Washington, and St. Louis, and Seattle. The graphic doesn't even go that far. So you have a ton. I look at mine and I'm like, yeah, I'm a little surprised I got Chicago and Arizona in there. But I do believe that those are two young, exciting teams that are on the up. And I do think they're going to push into that next level. I also look at my Washington and that team. I just don't know what to make of that team. I feel like they could go down.
Yeah.
I really struggle with a lot of those teams. Buffalo, I don't know if their goaltending is going to hold up. I don't know. There's so many unanswered questions, and there should be. We're two games into the season.
Mm-hmm.
In tier five, I have Nashville, St. Louis, Anaheim, Montreal, Philly, San Jose, and Columbus.
Why do you have Nashville in tier five?
I'm going to get to that here. Tier five, you have Philadelphia, Chicago, Montreal, San Jose, Arizona, Anaheim, and Columbus. Why do I have Nashville in tier five?
I can respect the St. Louis because I almost put them in there too, but I don't want to.
I don't know how they're going to score this year.
Who?
Nashville. I don't mind. Their goaltending's awesome. I love Soros. I look at him to have maybe not as strong of a year this year as last year because I don't know how you replicate that. I look at their defense and I like their defense, but offensively, I mean, this team is. I don't know how they're going to be able to. Because I don't think
They scored four against Tampa.
Did you see what Tampa was? Did you see how Tampa played?
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm out on Tampa, man. They're not making playoffs.
I don't think did you have them making the playoffs?
No, I did not.
I did. Let me look here.
They're 1-2. And they've allowed 14 goals in three games. 14.
Yeah. So are you out on Edmonton making the playoffs then?
No, I'm not. Well, I mean, fuck, Carolina's allowed 14 too. Fuck.
Exactly.
So is Toronto.
So I don't know. What's your take on Arizona? I mean, these are so early, but
I'm in on Arizona, but like they're still gonna be in the basement a little, like they're still going to be bottom two in that division, bottom three. Like it's, they're probably going to take a step this year. I'm a really big fan of Logan Cooley. They have some respectable pieces now. You bring in a guy like Dumba and Kerfoot and some other guys, makes you a little bit more respectable. But they're still not a good hockey team.
Who do you think's the worst team in the league?
San Jose by a landslide. It's got to be San Jose. They might set the record for the least points in the league.
I don't know that Philly's not going to be right with them.
They might. Oh, they will be right with them.
I think both those franchises are in some dire need. And
no, yeah, but you're starting to see Philly, like, except they're going into a rebuild, and you got San Jose over there not maximizing their value for a 100-point defenseman. So I don't know. Like, I think you're going to see Philly unload Konechny,
unload what they could for Carlson.
They could have got more at the deadline last year. You know that. Blake, they want four first-round picks. Who's taking? Of course, you're not getting. They would have. What?
Who's taking on that contract?
They would have retained money if they were smart. If they were smart, they would have retained almost half of that contract, and you would have got a boatload back. Boatload.
They couldn't retain half of it. They don't have the cap space to, I don't believe. I mean, you can't retain and not. Because right now, San Jose, yeah, they couldn't have. They have, where is San Jose?
Yeah, but they took all those bad contracts back to, what do you mean? They wouldn't have taken those bad contracts back.
Well, I agree, but then who's going to give up all those? I mean, I don't know. I don't think you're
going to. There would have been 15 teams lining up to get Carlson at six mil. Are you joking me? You kidding?
Because there's repercussions for long term for something like that, though.
Okay, well, you want to win a Stanley Cup and get a 100-point D-man at 6 mil, or do you want to get him for 10?
You think he was pushing somebody over the top to win a Stanley Cup?
I don't know.
I don't either, but I'm just saying, like, to me.
I'm just saying, would you rather have Carlson at 10 mil or 6?
All I'm saying is, like, going into the playoffs, right? Just hear me out on this. Going into the playoffs, and you need – look at all the teams that needed defensemen. Edmonton, they didn't need an offensive defenseman. They needed a defensive defenseman.
Yeah, they got Ekholm.
Everybody needs a guy like Tanev or, you know, like they need a guy like that.
I guess. Right? Yeah.
I mean, right now if Vancouver, I'm just like hypothetically using them as an example. If Vancouver is playing well, which they are right now, but if they're in a playoff spot, right? And they're heading in, they're looking at making a move, right?
I would go trade for Tanev so he can play Quinn Hughes.
Yes, because that's the guy that's going to get you over the hump in the playoffs.
Well, not even that, because he's played here for 10 years and he has experience playing with Quinn Hughes. So that's why I would take him.
I know. And I'm hypothetically using the Canucks and Tanev as an example, just because I do think Tanev will probably be available at the deadline.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, time will tell with that. What do you make of the Montreal Canadiens?
I think they got some exciting pieces. Cole Caulfield and Suzuki and Slavkovsky, and unfortunately Kirby Dach's out long term. I like the addition of Newhook. They got a really, really young back end with Caden Gooley and Arbor Jacki, and they got Baron, and it's super young. They're gonna be getting hit. They're gonna be getting oh, what the hell is his name? He plays at BU. Oh no, forget his name. He's a really dynamic defenseman. Set the U.S. development team record in points for a D-man. So yeah, there's a lot to like about them. I still think they need to get a good young goalie. We'll see. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of pieces in place for a proper rebuild. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a long term rebuild, but definitely moving in the right direction. Tiers were fun. We will revisit that at American Thanksgiving, and then probably the mid season point. I think would be another good time to talk about that. But that's always fun to do, and we'll do that again. But now it is time to go around the league. Opening week in the National Hockey League, and it started off on Tuesday night it started, but Wednesday night, the Montreal Canadiens-Toronto Maple Leafs game. Montreal had Toronto on the ropes. Like, I can't remember why I turned it off, because I had to do something quick, and I came back, and it was 6-5, and I was like, what just happened?
Well, I mean, it's honestly tale of two games, because Caulfield scores to make it 3-0, and it gets called back on an offside, and that kind of gave Toronto some hope. But, I mean, you're down 5-3. Auston Matthews gets two goals, puts the team on his back. I mean, that's just what guys like that do. I mean, guys like that, they're paid the big bucks to take over hockey games, and that's what Auston Matthews has done the last two games. He's got six fucking goals in two games. So,
a hat-trick opening night, and then he follows it up with a hat-trick against Minnesota to take charge of that game. And,
like, wow, what a start. That's what you pay guys to do. Score big goals and take over games. And he's done that for sure.
Definitely has. Undefeated teams in the league. Who's left? Who is left as an undefeated team? Can you name them, Blake? Without pulling it up, can you name them?
Do I have to name them?
No, guess.
Well, Vancouver.
Okay.
Boston.
Yes.
Like undefeated in regulation?
Undefeated.
Colorado's undefeated.
No, they're not.
What?
Wait, let me find it. Yeah, they are. They are. They are. They are. They are. They are. I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure those are the only three. Oh, Vegas is undefeated. I think that's the only four that haven't lost in regulation.
No, there's a couple more here. Vancouver, Vegas, Toronto. Nope, Toronto is not on the list anymore. Lost tonight.
Toronto lost. What are you talking about?
So Vancouver, Vegas, the New York Islanders.
Oh, yeah, one game.
Yeah, Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
Colorado Avalanche. So the undefeated teams are down to, very few of them now. And as we go each night, we'll see less and less of them. What do you make of Connor Bedard's start?
It was kind of weird for Montreal to boo the kid. I thought that was weird. That's
typical, though, isn't it?
That kind of caught me off guard. I wasn't really expecting that, but I watched a little bit of the Chicago Toronto game today. He looked okay. He doesn't look out of place. He's shooting the puck a lot, which as he should. He's got one of the best releases in the game, so I would shoot a lot too. He's getting a lot of chances. He's found the back of the net once. Yeah, he's been good. I've been impressed. I was curious on how his skating would hold up a little bit. He looks fine. He doesn't look out of place, and good for him.
I think he's holding his own just fine, and he's got a tremendous amount of expectations to live up to. In three games, he does have 3 points. He's a minus one, but he's got a goal and two assists. I've been fairly impressed. One thing that shocked me is they're definitely not sheltering him. He's averaging like 22 minutes a game.
No, I think he had the most minutes in the first two games in the league,
which is crazy. TV ratings are it was the highest regular season non-winter classic ratings in the U.S. history. His opening night game against Pittsburgh. Ticket prices are out of control when he comes to town. So doing everything that
making the league money. Get that salary cap going up, Gary.
So we'll see what happens there. Some extensions signed this week. Devon Toews extended in Colorado, 7 years, 7.25. Owen Power re-signed 7 years at 8.35. What's Buffalo doing?
Locking up their core long term. I get what they're doing, but it's like, they are taking the Ottawa Senators approach, is what they're doing. They're getting all those young guys locked up long term. Props to them. Good for them for doing it. But
are they not $2 million too high on everybody?
Owen Power probably worth $6 million.
That's what I said. They're $2 million too high on every single person.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna bite you in the ass, isn't it?
Might. But they're hoping that the cap goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up.
Yes, I know, but you still have to field depth, though, right?
Yeah, I know.
And for a team that hasn't won dinky do, they're really rolling the dice pretty strong here.
Good young players, though. Two really good cornerstone D-men to build your team around.
So let me ask you this question. Do you want Devon Toews or Owen Power?
Devon Toews.
But Owen Power got $1 million more.
I know. Was there any other extensions?
No, those are the two key ones. Shane Pinto, still not signed. Ottawa's trying to move cap to sign him. They currently have $62,000 in cap space.
I'm sure you'll sign for that, no?
Yeah. Shane Pinto has actually left and went back to Michigan, or excuse me, New York, excuse me, to train. But one of the things that I started thinking about it, Ottawa went and signed Korpisalo and Tarasenko. Tarasenko probably the more appropriate one we need to talk about now. So they bring in Tarasenko and give him the money, and now they're screwed on a young prospect like Pinto that's proven to be a pretty decent scorer in the National Hockey League. Boy, they really handcuffed themselves here, didn't they?
Well, I'm just thinking of guys you can move out to.
Who in the league is going to do them a favor?
Well, no, they're going to have to pay for it, for sure. The only good thing that Ottawa has here is Pinto cannot be off-sheeted. That's the only leverage that they have right now because he's a 10.2C. So, I'm just like, I understand why they brought in Tarasenko, but like, why did you bring in Kubalik for $2.5 million when you could have just gave that to Pinto?
To Pinto, right? They got ahead of themselves.
They overplayed their hand is what they did.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder that makes me worry if Buffalo will end up doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, giving a little more extra here to solidify deals. Well, you can do that once. When you start doing it 3-4 times, that starts to haunt you. It'll be interesting. Interesting version of three questions coming up next.
Oh, God. Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
It's time for three questions.
Okay, number one. Who will remain an impact player longer in the National Hockey League, Ovechkin or Crosby?
Crosby. That's easy. Crosby's a center.
Crosby's faster. Crosby's more dynamic.
Yeah.
Crosby's better defensively. Crosby's
better. Crosby's better at everything except scoring. Ed hitting. Oh, sorry. Oh, Jesus. Battling here.
Number two. Who was the most impactful player in the first week of the season?
I would say Matthews or Pettersson for me. I mean,
I don't know how you argue Matthews.
Six goals, and Pettersson had a goal and 5 assists. Yeah, they were number one and two and three stars of the week.
Question number three, biggest surprise in the first week of the season?
I did not expect to sweep the Oilers. That was a surprise.
Giant surprise.
Oilers 0-2, obviously.
You know what I think the biggest surprise to me is? That the goaltending on the teams we had question marks on
are thriving.
No, they're not thriving.
Why? What about Vegas?
Yeah, but a lot of teams that we get questioned the goaltending on, LA. I mean, there's a whole bunch of
LA. You told me that Cam Talbot's going to be in the Vezina conversation.
I'd still believe he will be, but right now, but initially, a lot of talk around the league was that. The word goes out that is LA's goaltending good enough for them to be a solid playoff contender, and everybody said no.
Yeah,
and so far they haven't shown their worth. Right, we haven't. And same thing in Edmonton, same thing in Buffalo. There was question marks, and we haven't seen good goaltending there.
Yeah,
Tampa Bay. There was question marks. We haven't seen good goaltending there. It's biting people in the ass right now. It really is.
Yeah, it makes me happy that my team went out and got a proven backup, so I don't have to deal with that shit.
Well, the season's so young, so.
Hey, shh, quiet.
Listener question, Alec.
What's your third question?
That was it. Biggest surprise of the first week of the season.
Sorry.
Listener question, Alex Lindgren, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Edmonton and Vancouver started their season with rosters of players short due to salary cap constraints.
Yeah.
In the next CBA, should there be roster rules that teams must dress 20 players?
I mean, I don't think it matters. I mean, like, you're playing shorthanded on like, it's your choice to play shorthanded. So, I mean, I guess to be cap compliant, I mean, if it is what it is, you have to deal with it. You're down, you're short a guy. This is what it is.
Okay. But here's the flip side of this. So that puts more stress on the players on your team.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like, it makes you.
I'm looking at it from
both sides. I see both sides.
I'm looking at it from an NHLPA perspective. I could see where they would be like, no, I don't like that. It's putting too much on other players. And nope. I mean, I mean, the NBA, those guys take off every third game because they're tired. And we got the NHL guys. We think about the NBA if they went and said, all right, we're going to dress six guys tonight. Well, the NBA players would be like, no, that's bullshit. I'm taking the night off because I have a stub toe.
Okay, but six guys compared to...
Like, I'm using it as an example because they don't pull off the bench as much as hockey does.
They use about nine guys a game.
Okay, so what if they could only do seven?
I think they'd be okay.
Well, then, okay, if they're okay with that, then why are they taking maintenance days?
Not anymore. They got a new policy in place.
Do you think that they're not going to come up with ways to manipulate that?
They might, for sure.
My ass.
But also, NBA, if you played seven guys, that means six guys are playing the whole game, pretty much. That's double of what you would play if you're a star NHL player. That's just 48 minutes.
I'm just saying that opens up. So, poor general manager maintaining the salary cap opens up injuries to your other player. That's a scary
thing. Or it gives players opportunity to thrive in a higher role, get more ice time. Okay. I see both sides. I see both sides.
It was a very, very, very exciting first week of the National Hockey League season. We are back again next Monday night. More regular season hockey talk. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next Monday night, 9 o'clock, same time, live show. More great hockey talk. Hockey talk every week, the Debate Hockey Podcast. As we go today, a new song from Booze and Tuna, Ground Up.
Listen, don't call on the phone no more, but I hear she's still getting around. Cut all ties with this girl, but somehow she's still hanging around. Been all over this country, but I still find her messing around. She's just lining them up and knocking them down, dealing out that grounded pound.
Temples bleed, busted down, dirty knives with no morals found. Locked in with no help around, like the storm for the grounded pound. Knock me over, throw me down, pull my hair and shut my sound. Tear my clothes, put me in the ground, take me back up for grounded pound.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.